I'm so grateful for the adversity in 2021 because it reset that mindset and accidentally gave me this whole new version of myself that enjoys the process way more and is actually getting better results.
How do we optimize our state of mind so that we can bring our best to the long run in sport and in life? I'm Eloise Wellings, two-time Olympic athlete, and together with my mental skills coach, Rory Darkins, we are here to help you unlock your marathon state of mind.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Marathon State of Mind. Today we have our first three-time guest on the show, none other than Genevieve Gregson. Jen, how are you?
I'm very honoured to be a three-time guest. My aim is to be more than a three-time guest, but we'll start here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're our first two-time guest as well.
So yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you're setting records every time you come on the podcast, but it is great to have you back. And a lot has happened since we caught up with you last time. Just to refresh everyone's memory, if you haven't heard that episode, I do totally recommend checking it out. But it was a tough time for you when we last spoke. Midst of an Achilles surgery and kind of rebounding from that experience at the Tokyo Olympics. And look at you now, Jen.
Look at you now.
Yeah, that is wild. Because I remember talking to you guys and I was telling you like my goals and like what I want to achieve and what I'd obviously very recently been through. But yeah, fast forward. I honestly still have those, like I did this today, it's kind of weird. But you know when you go back on your Instagram and you look at like reels you've done, the Valencia one, I just watch over and over again because I mean, I'm sure Eloise has a lot to say about that day as well, positive and, you know, some lessons, but it was one of the most special races that I think I've been in to date, more so obviously because I got to execute a plan, but it was like a special race because the marathon, it unfolds so slowly that it's almost like the whole thing's slow motion. Like I can remember every minute of the race, every step, the thought process, the little words that me and Eloise had said to each other in the race. We commented on splits at one point. It's just so different to anything I've ever done, but it's an amazing event. And I'm just so excited to be in the early stages of it and get a chance to do so many more.
Yeah. It's so good. Eloise, just while you were there, I'd love to actually get your take on the Valencia Marathon, of what you saw of Jen, just to bring our listeners up to speed if they weren't able to follow it like we were real time, you know, watching every K split and just tracking you all. For those that, you know, that weren't doing that late that night, just give us your take on what you saw from Jen that day.
A lot of lilac. She's wearing lilac. Even in a week, we were all there in Valencia the week leading in, and Jen was just the same as she always is, and just consistent. And that's who she is. And it's like, I mean, we're all coming into like one of the biggest races of our careers. And so it would be totally normal and human for anyone to be, I don't know, a little bit different or a little bit high frequency or antsy or whatever. But Jen was just like the same consistent Jen. And I think that that's why I really, I really enjoy races, doing the same build-ups, because I know that, you know, Jen's just taking it in a stride and just doing what she normally does. And I knew that she was going to have a great race. I actually knew, like, I had a feeling that all of us would run really well. And we kind of, I think we all had a, you know, like a quiet confidence about us that, okay, this is an amazing opportunity to run one of the fastest courses in the world, and an amazing opportunity to do, you know, a race where we're actually not just running for time, we're competing against each other, but we're all going in together. And I think there was this sense of like, respect amongst each other that, hey, like, we all know how hard the last 3 months have been. We've all done very similar workouts. We've all gone to the well in our build-ups, and yeah, there was just a real level of respect. And then, yeah, like during the race, I just, you know, I saw in Jen that the strength and the tenacity and the I don't know, just this freedom of spirit that, like, I'm here for it, and I'm here for anything, and I'm showing up.
She's talking about a bold move I made early around, like, was it before halfway when I kind of bridged a gap?
Yeah, you did.
I bridged a gap, not knowing whether it was a smart move or not. But what gave me peace was kind of like Eloise said, we had a team out there. We had a little army. And I just thought that any move I made, if the girls followed, it was the right one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would have been scary if I made a move and looked behind and absolutely no one followed me, because then I would have doubted it. But, like, I just remember in, like, the real later stages of the race when it gets really scary and difficult, you know, anywhere around the 30K mark, like, I had Eloise right next to me. I had Izzy not far behind. And that was a special – I think that's why I have so many fond memories, because it was – there was so much on the line, but at the same time I felt like I had so much support, and it, like, enabled me to stay relaxed and stay confident. And the crazy thing that no one really knows is going into this race, our coach didn't say, hey, girls, this is what your training says you can do. This is the time you aim for. Like, good luck. It was – we all had these individual conversations that were very vague, but – more so because he wanted us to believe what we could do, and something. Yeah, he wanted us to believe what we could do, and that was what we would attempt. But the crazy thing is, Izzy was probably the person that at first kind of made a bold move with what time she wanted to aim for. And I think originally she threw out a 2:24 as the number. And that scared me. I remember going straight to Eloise and saying, like, I don't know what you're thinking, but, like, 2:24 sounds pretty crazy to me. But then, like, kind of hanging out with Eloise that week, and she was kind of radiating a sense of confidence that we're all capable of that. I remember just thinking, all right, even in the cool room, I said to my coach, I'm going to go with that pace because I'm here to try and make the Olympics, but I'm just kind of worried of the outcome. But really, it was the girls that made me aim that high and aim for that halfway pace and then get faster. I think if I was in that race alone and entering Valencia Marathon to just see what I could do, I probably would have set a ceiling at, like, 2:25 and just aimed for that and felt great doing it. So it really did bring the best out of me, having that team aspect and having these girls that I'm so comfortable with. And, like I said, having them by my side in the race, reiterating that, you know, we're stronger together, and this is definitely something I'm capable of.
I want to let's drill straight into that, because a lot of people could have been in that exact situation and felt threatened by the presence of other people that you're kind of competing, you know, alongside for, you know, a limited number of spots in the Olympics, right? So, you know, it would be quite human nature to go, oh, I made a move and they came with me. Oh, no, you know? But
yeah,
what I heard you say was, I made a move and as long as they came with me, I was like, okay, cool. This is, you know, it was the right thing. I'm where I need to be. And you kind of seem to take comfort in having your competitors beside you. And I just think that's such a, there's such a freedom in that approach. I'd love to hear your take on that, if that's something you've intentionally chosen to do, or is this just part of who you are?
Yeah, no, I think it is something that I've gotten better at as I've gotten older. And Eloise and I have spoken a lot about it. Having rivalry in such a niche sport like distance running is absolutely pointless. It's just energy draining. And not that I have to try to not feel competitive against these girls, because it really, the aura that everyone brings to training is so friendly and supportive that, like, it's second nature to just enjoy everyone's company. But in saying what you're saying, and I know we were all, at one point we thought we were all kind of aiming for this one spot left on the team. We didn't know how fast we were going to run, but yeah, it was a strange sense. Every interview I did leading up, people would say, oh, how does it feel to be, like, racing teammates for that one spot? And I was like, obviously it's not ideal, because I love these girls, and if I could pick the team, I would pick all my favorite people to to be going to the Olympics with. But I never once felt threatened that only one of us got the spot and only one of us deserved to go. Mm-hmm. And so I remember making myself feel more at peace if I said I would genuinely be happy if I saw Eloise surge away and like run into that third spot. Like that would not break me down to tears. That would not make me wish for a different result. That would make me think, wow, what a run. She deserved that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what gives you comfort when you're lining up against these girls like Izzy and Eloise. And I mean, there's a million of them, but to look at them all and see them as like a more positive reinforcement with you and your training and what you've done rather than see them as a threat enables me to feel really relaxed. And like I said, there's been many occasions that I've had Eloise on my shoulder in very high stress situations, but it's been the thing that brings me back down and makes me feel relaxed. And so in Valencia Marathon at 30K, when I've made a bold move and our splits have gotten really fast and I'm kind of thinking, have I done something wrong? And then seeing I have Eloise there and Izzy not far behind, it reassures me that what we're doing is we're running strong, we're running confident, and you know, we might just pull this off. At one point I honestly thought Eloise and I were about to run 2:22 and we were both heading to the Olympics. Like and can you imagine the lift that gives you? You know, it's completely positive and no negativity. So I just think anyone doing such a hard event like marathon, you know, why would you try and make the event even harder by having the stress of feeling like you're up against someone else rather than just yourself and the time and the course.
Yeah.
Like you should be using each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's epic. How did you have any comment on that for you?
We talked about it a fair bit in our last podcast, but yeah, just the same sentiment. It's just like the event is hard enough and the sport is hard enough. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who would find it heaps more entertaining if we did hate each other's guts.
We did tactical moves.
Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the day, we're just like, we're purely trying to get the most out of ourselves. And if we can work together in doing that, like how beautiful.
Mm.
And as Jen said, like, you know, I mentioned in our last podcast, like I've in my humanness, I have gone to those places before in my younger years and felt threatened. And but it's a yuck place to live.
Yeah, it's stressful. It's
draining and stressful. You're sleeping with one eye open. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know.
Looking up others' results, praying they slip on a banana peel.
Yeah.
But this way is so much more fun. And I think it's so much more sustainable as well, because I don't know how long can you maintain that level of like frequency of like fully trying to beat this one person mm-hmm. all the time, or just being, you know, like, well, I don't know, wishing ill will, or I don't know what it is, but like, I just, you know, there's so many examples around the world of like the rivalries that we've seen, and the media talks it up a fair bit, but like, I don't know, I just think it's so much more fun this way.
Yeah.
And like, the event allows that as well. Like it's so different on the track because they're short races and it is really tactical and one move matters. But in the marathon, like I just remember our coach saying, I have a feeling you girls are going to be around each other for a very long part of the race. And like that's exactly it. With the marathon, you need to use each other for as long as possible, because there will become a point in the race where it gets really, really difficult and it's almost just survival of whoever's left standing, literally. Yeah. And so it is nice to be able to have friendships rather than enemies when you're out there.
Yeah.
Awesome. And on that, Jen, when it does get hard, you know, I think anyone who follows the marathon, you know, is always so, you know, we're all so interested in like, what do people do when it gets hard? Like, what can I learn? What can I learn from how Jen deals with, you know, that feeling when you're kind of, you know, really going to the well and you're actually not sure that you can do it? Like, you know, you believe that you can do it, but you kind of lean into a new place and
you
know what it's going to feel like. And then you've got all sorts of feelings, both physically and emotionally coming up. Like, help us to understand what that place is like for you and what you do with that, how you guide yourself through it. Because, you know, watching from the outside, it's something that you are incredibly skilled at.
Yeah, I wish I could say that, yeah, I'm a mastermind and I'm getting it right every time. But, like, I even just taking going back to that race we did, Eloise, straight after Gold Coast, the Sydney Harbour 10. The crazy thing is, in the first 5K of that race, it was only 3 weeks post Gold Coast Marathon. The first 5K of that race, Eloise and Leanne Pompiani were honestly like just – the pace just felt hot from the gun, and I was always just like a foot or two behind, and I was just holding on to dear life in the early stages of the race. And I just had such a mental battle with myself being like, you're racing too soon, you're not ready, you're still tired, like the marathon wasn't long ago. And it was like kind of had this negative underlining – feeling the whole time. And then all of a sudden at like 6K, I just, the legs warmed up and I started feeling better and I stopped fighting my body. And all of a sudden it was like, you're doing great. You're amazing. You're catching the girls, like fight your way home. And like, I ended up winning it because I talked myself back towards the front and like did the positive reinforcement thing. And I actually had that same experience for the next few races that I did after that. And like, they were all great races. It was the Australian half championships where I raced early, same thing, negative at first 5K, slowly started feeling better and then came home really strong, feeling good and being positive. I did it again in the 10K cross country champs that I won, feeling terrible early, saying negative things to myself and then coming out the other side. And it wasn't until Valencia where I'm like, okay, we're back in a marathon. You're running 42K. You can't have the negative talk early because it's draining. And it made me doubt myself in every single one of those races until I all of a sudden felt good and was able to make moves in the second half of the race. So my aim for Valencia was to, look where the girls are, try to relax, switch off as much as possible and don't have the negative remarks early, like try ignore them and focus on things that kept me really calm and happy. And a lot of those thoughts came from, here you are doing the race that you've had your goals, that you've had your mindset on for so long. You're in Valencia, you're attempting to make the Olympics. This has been like 2 years in the making. You know, your son's here, your husband's out on the course. Like, it was just all these kind of comments to remind myself that no matter what happens, like you've hit a goal before I've even finished, before the result, I've already reached a goal. Just the fact that I was there in the race, in great shape, knew I was fit, racing with the girls. And I remember not even feeling amazing at like the 8K mark, which sometimes you do because you've loaded your system up with glycogen for a week. but it was just a totally different experience. I was so at peace with whatever happens. And I think that's really important. And it's hard to explain that to people. They're like, but you went there to make the Olympics. You know, what do you mean you were okay with any result? And I just come to terms with that if it wasn't the result I wanted, I'd had such a beautiful experience. I'd had the best lead up. I'd had literally a holiday with my family 2 weeks prior. I'd had so much fun with the girls in the week leading in. I was happy if they ran well. And it just, I think it just made me feel so relaxed that any images or videos I see of myself in that race, I honestly look like I'm out on a long run. Yeah. Like I'm just out there trotting along in a big group of people, minding my own business, having like the time of my life. And I think that allows the later stages when it gets really hard, you're ready for it because you've just been upping yourself the whole time, telling yourself how great you are, you know, trying to focus on how good you feel. So honestly, at 35K, when I knew I wasn't far from the end, that's when I probably felt like I started racing, like I was ready to go mentally. I was so positive and I didn't feel that real burning hurt that I'm sure people get at the end of the race because mentally I was so sharp and ready to close this last like goal of this last 2 years. And it's a surreal experience, and that's why I say I keep rewatching like a reel that I made of the whole day because everything was just like a dream come true. Like I'd run home, got stronger, ran last few Ks to the end, saw Ryan, saw Archer. And then even when I crossed the line and Izzy wasn't far behind, minutes later I was able to talk to Eloise, you know, console her and her own thoughts. But from then we, you know, went to dinner together, we went and had drinks together. It was just like, it was such a beautiful day in so many ways that to like, I woke up the next day thinking, why do I get this? Like, why do I get like literally the perfect day and like the perfect ending? And I think it was just, it came down to I told myself that everything that I'd done to this point was for a reason, and like this was the result. And I think that's kind of what you got to do. If you know you've put in the work and you're proud of what you've done to that point, then let yourself enjoy it for what it is, no matter what the end actual time or place is.
Yeah.
Sounds
like you were so like process oriented, and you just enjoyed the process so much that by the time you got to like the race, which ultimately is like, it's the reward.
Yeah.
You know? It's the reward for putting in all the work, and then, you know, you're listing off all these things that you're grateful for as you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't find a more freer.
Yes. That was exactly what it felt like.
Because even when you're hurting, you're like, oh, but how good.
Yeah. Like, I get the chance to hurt.
Yeah.
And I'd actually said to Ryan, and Ryan thinks it's my mechanism. Like, that's how I do run well and run free, is I said to Ryan, he originally thought, you know, do we really need to all come? Like, does your mum and her partner need to come? Do Archer and I need to come? Like, you're making it a very expensive trip for a race, for one race. And I just said, I want it that way, because if it doesn't go well, I can still look back fondly at these last few weeks as a trip away with my family and a great experience.
Yeah.
You know, if I cross the line and it wasn't good, I can just say, well, that, you know, it was all worth it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you send me off on a business trip on my own, I'm rooming on my own, I'm doing everything solo, and then I have a bad race, like I'll be lost in my own bad thoughts and I'll be kind of thinking, wow, should have I spent all this money to come over here alone and not be proud of the result? So I kind of set it up in a way mentally that whatever happened, I was proud of the whole journey. And I think, like Eloise said, it allowed me to run so relaxed that I felt my best and strongest out there anyway.
Yeah. And it sounds to me that like gratitude is at the center of your kind of ideal state of mind for competing.
Yeah.
Some people might sound like an oxymoron, you know, like, you know, because from the outside, obviously, we all can see how fierce a competitor you are, you know, like, and I just think it's such a great insight to go, you know what, actually, what you're doing in the moment is you're actually like grateful for whatever the moment is presenting, even if it's challenging. What, like, help us to understand more about, you know, if you were to describe your kind of ideal state of mind to you know, bring your best and also have an experience of that, like, what is that?
I think it's exactly what you just said, if you know, a few seconds ago. It's, I think, because I've run my whole life, I've always loved running. I've felt very grateful that I've been given this opportunity to have this as my job. But then when you rewind to 2021 Tokyo, where honestly that running was like not enjoyable. I was in a lot of pain. I had a bad Achilles. I'd had it pretty much since Rio. To then rupture my Achilles at the Olympics, I honestly, truly believed that at that moment, you know, that was my running career over. And so there was a period in time, and it wasn't long. Like, I obviously got straight back on the horse and started rehabbing pretty quickly. But there was a brief period in time where I thought my running was over. And I think that scared me so much that climbing all the way back to here and then having more success really than ever before has just made me feel grateful that I've been given this almost like a second chance at having running as a career again. And I do see it being a long career, because I got through that. I got through something that would end so many people's careers, but I climbed my way through it, got back, and now I get to race again, pain-free, love it even more, have a little baby boy. It's like, yeah, I got everything and then some. So I think the best state of mind that I race in is just anytime I'm out there, think, you would have, like, no one could have convinced you you'd be back here. So just enjoy this, be grateful that it's here again, and you get it all over again when you thought it was taken away. And that's how I think I run my most relaxed and free, is knowing that this is all I want to do and it was nearly all gone.
So do you think your mindset has changed from pre-Achilles, like, to how you approach races and training pre-Achilles to now?
So much. Yeah, so much. Like, that Achilles rupture honestly like reinvented myself. I think I've always loved running, so I've never lacked passion or drive. But I think before that injury, there was just a different, like a different mindset. It was all about performance and goal, being goal oriented, and results. Good results were fast results or high placing or getting a bonus, making money, that type of stuff. Whereas now, like, I mean, my coach has to hold me back because I just want to do everything and anything. Like, I don't care if there's prize money or not. Like, let me do it because I'm healthy and I can run and I love it so much. And it allows me to have this life that I enjoy with Ryan. And so I think it's just a more relaxed mindset. I think it's less cutthroat. It's less driven on, oh, I need to be top eight at the Olympics versus I just want to run a fun marathon and see how fast I can go.
Yeah.
Like it's such a different, and that's the only thing I can put it down to, because it honestly shocks Ryan because he's like, I feel like I'm not, but he says he thinks that I'm less professional now than I was before my Achilles. Like I do cut corners now, but for myself. And I was explaining this to Eloise the other day. If I'm tired and run down from looking after Archer, I won't go to the gym or I won't do my second run. And it's not because I care less about running now. I'm doing what feels right and what I feel like I'm capable of. And I think that allows me to feel really relaxed and enjoy training rather than feel like it is my job and it's what I need to do at 100%. And, you know, my family comes second. So
yeah.
I just look at everything. Yeah.
Too, because you get, you're making those decisions on behalf of not only family, but on behalf of like the rest of the week in your training schedule.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You're not a slave to the schedule anymore just because you feel like you have to do it. And it's part of it. Part of that is like, some of it's an ego thing because like I know it from before when I had kids, but it's also an obsessive thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I don't do this, like I might not get to where I want to go. But now it's more like, no, I know exactly where I need to be and I know exactly what I need to do to get there. And how I need to feel. That's the most important thing. How I need to feel in my mind and in my body.
Yeah.
And then I'll get the training done accordingly.
Everything Eloise is saying is what I literally repeat to Ryan. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me to go out there on that second run. I don't feel like it. I think maybe it can even just be something that's come later in life just due to experience, but I have a different outlook now. And I've lost that obsessive sort of, this is what my week looks like and this is what it has to be by Sunday afternoon. And I think there's something really free in that, and it allows me to enjoy running even more than I already did.
What it sounds like to me, which I just think I'd almost encourage people to rewind the last few minutes and just listen to it again, because there's so much great wisdom in there. What it sounds like to me is, you know, when you have an experience like you did with the Achilles rupture, where you feel like maybe you're not going to get to do it again, that reinvention almost, like, you know, it sounds like it's, you've redefined how you see yourself in the sport. Like, it's not I've got to achieve this in order to be someone, you know, or I've got to, like, if I get good results, then I'm a, like, better, you know, more valuable person, or anything like that. It's just like, I'm doing this because I love to do it, and I get to do it. How good is that? And by going, the bit I want to really highlight for anyone listening is, going about it that way has led to better outcomes. Like, we're not talking about like something that, you know, you've traded high performance for enjoying the process. It's like you've gone to new heights of performance. Trusting yourself to, you know, be more flexible and adjusting, you know, Noah's right on the day, and also running with freedom and gratitude and seeing your competitors as, you know, like taking comfort and having, you know, around all of that stuff that you've talked about has actually helped you perform even better whilst having a better experience along the way. And I think it's just so useful when we can reflect on what our identity within our sport or the things we do is, and kind of reclaim, redefine that, reclaim it as, I get to do this. I love doing this. I'm excited to see what I could do and what experiences that might bring. And there's not this attachment or clinging to, you know, needing outcomes in order to sort of feel okay about ourselves.
Yeah. And like, honestly, when I think back to the girl that ran right up until 2021, I just see just like this, like battered down athlete that was trying to do everything right, but was honestly running in pain for like 5 years straight and ignoring it and just thinking that the only way was to do more and more and more, and like do more gym, do more doubles, do, you know, anything possible to be better. And like, I'm so grateful for the adversity in 2021 because it reset that mindset and accidentally gave me this whole new version of myself that enjoys the process way more and is actually getting better results, yeah. Which is crazy.
Things we love to see.
So good.
Wow. And just while we're on the topic, Jen, like if someone's listening to this and they've been battling with injuries, they might be currently injured, or they've, you know, even just felt like, you know, running through pain or anything like that, like maybe what have you learned from going through that adversity? What have you learned about yourself and that, you know, you wish someone in that situation would know, rather than having to go through something like a ruptured Achilles in order to learn it?
It's crazy because back in the day I'd have been like, yeah, I can give you a great cross training plan and you can just do it four yeah. hours a day and you'll get there and you'll like, it'll be so worth it.
But oh, absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I would have challenged anyone to try harder, but that's not it. Yeah. And I think the only reason why, what also helped me to, like I said, like reinvent this new outlook was because I became a mum and I couldn't possibly train that hard and have a newborn. And then I started to slowly realize that just do things when you're mentally ready to do things. And when you're not mentally ready, like take a break, take a rest, go for a walk, go to a cafe. Like I completely changed and rewired my brain to think, okay, stop being performance driven for a second. Your body needs to heal. It's been through a lot. It's been through two surgeries, a birth, whatever it was at the time. And I stopped that obsessive drive that always wanted me to be moving forward. And I'm sure it took longer this comeback than if I had the other mindset, but it's been a very pain-free, like zero glitches, no steps backwards, all steps forward type of mentality. And that's what I wish I could probably tell myself back when I started getting injured at 23, is you're not against the clock. There's stop rushing, like just train when you're ready to train, rehab when you're ready to rehab, and give yourself a break when you've burnt out. And I think when people are injured, the common thing is you're just so frustrated and burnt out of whether it's a reoccurring injury or you're just sick of cross training. And I think there is a lot of science behind like a positive mindset and being in a good place mentally allows you to heal so much faster than if you're just banging your head against a brick wall and cross training for hours on end and trying to do everything right and eat healthy and sleep well. And the best thing I did was I put my well-being and my baby and my family first. And I was an athlete second to all of that. Yeah. And whatever I had to do that day, running or cross training or rehabbing, came last. And if there was no time for it, then it was missed.
Yeah. I'm hearing like there's so much self-compassion in that posture when you take that approach. Like, and it's hard for a lot of athletes because they think a lot of young athletes in particular, and you know, that we get to work with, they think that you have to be like really hard on yourself all the time. And that's where I came from. Mm-hmm. Like until I realized that actually, you know, it's not the way. No. Like I can have a lot of self-compassion and that can drive high performance.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing what's best for my body. Do you think like with this like new approach and like this new gen, do you think
Gen 2.0.
Gen 2.0. Love it. Do you think there'll be times like in the future, or are there times now, if you want to be honest, that you notice yourself slipping back into that mentality and you catch yourself? And or do you think it's like that is just the old days, it's gone?
I would have to say at the moment, no, I haven't slipped back into it, only because of this new event, the marathon. It's amazing because you have a marathon block, and I will allow myself to do what I think is enough. But it's hard. I have a husband who is exactly everything we're describing he should be. Like, he is driven to every inch of his body, and more is more. And I'm actually continuously having to like push back on what he wants me to do. You know, he wants me to double most afternoons. He wants me to do more gym. He wants me to do strides. And I'm, and maybe it's helping because out of spite, I'm like, no. Have you run 223? But he has. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that helps me because I'm continuously hearing the other voice and hearing, no, that's what I used to do, that I used to try do more and run more and do more gym and stretch my body out probably beyond a point of no return. So now what I do is I allow myself in a marathon block to do more, to have higher Ks. You know what it's like, the sessions get longer, the long runs get pretty long, but there's an end to it. You know, it's an 8 to 10 week block that I'll allow my body to be pushed. But as soon as I'm out of that block, I like to go back to, you know, having a while of no double runs, you know, cut back gym for a few months if you need a break, run really slow, bring the long run back. And I do all those calls on my own because I think that's what has allowed me over the last 2 years to have this success and get back to here. And I don't want to get sucked back into that really scary mentality where you want to just keep doing more and being better. Mm-hmm. I haven't fallen back yet, but yeah, it's definitely possible because I do want to run faster. I do want to make more Olympics, and you know, to get better, something has to change sometimes.
I mean, I'm not expecting you to fall back into like old habits. I just think it's so human and normal to start going and to catch yourself and go, oh no, like, I know better now,
I think being a mum helps you too, because that you're always going to be a mum now, and there's always going to be something that's more important than your running.
Yeah.
And that allows me to be reminded constantly that as long as Archer and our family and our household is looked after first, if there is time for me to sneak out the door for another run, I will, if I feel ready and up for it. But a lot of the time life takes over, and I just in my mind say, okay, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. It's been a big day. I didn't sleep well. Archer was up early. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
I just want to capture the edge in, like, it's not lost on me that, you know, when you were describing the way you speak to yourself when it's hard, when you're running, kind of contrasted, you know, maybe there might be some negative thoughts pop up early in the race, but then, you know, you're able to turn that around and speak really positively and help, you know, in a helpful way to yourself. It's not lost to me. That's the same thing, the same kind of skill that sits beneath being able to make those decisions, you know, on a day when you're tired, to kind of, you know, pull back, the ability to, you know, like, not feel like you have to always push more, do more and more in order to be more, you know. It's voice, actually, when it comes to race day, the same voice that enables you to be flexible on any given day and kind of act with some self-compassion is the same thing that you call on in the second half of a race to actually get every bit out of yourself in an uplift. Which again is like contrast with what people sometimes might assume, that we kind of like have to push and push and push and like beat ourselves up into pushing our hardest, you know, and when really shows that it's quite the opposite.
Yeah. I think a really big thing about it too, and I've thought about this and Ryan and I have discussed a lot, is you got to have so much trust in yourself. And when I say that, I mean, you got to trust that when you're pulling back, it's because you feel like you need a pullback and not doubt that you're taking an easy option.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes, like Eloise said, you might think, oh, I should be cross training, but I'm so exhausted. But oh, no, that's me just being weak. I need to go back out and cross train. You got to trust that if you're feeling run down and you're feeling off, or in a race, you're feeling like the pace right now is a bit hot, you need to sit back. You need to trust that you know that, and that that is the right decision there and then. And I think that's something I've gotten really good at. I trust that when I'm working hard, I'm working hard. And I trust that when I feel like I'm working too hard, I am working too hard.
Yeah.
And I try to remind Ryan that all the time. Like, he might do a race and he'll come to me afterwards and be like, I don't know. I don't even know if I tried that hard. I just feel like maybe I could have gone harder at this point of the race. And I'm like, you need to trust that you gave everything out there, because it is very unlike you to ever take a shortcut or be easy on yourself. So just know you did everything. And I think that's something I trust in myself. I know that I'm always trying to do everything I can in any situation, whether it's, you know, being easy on myself or being harder on myself. And I believe that any decision I make, whether it's in a race or about training during the week, it's the right one.
Totally. I've got this note in my phone from a marathon block that we did a little while ago, which goes something like, the same thing that enables you to hold back is the thing that enables you to push on. Like,
yeah,
meaning the same voice in your head that enables you to trust yourself to pull back when it feels right is the voice that you need to lean in and give it everything when the time comes for that.
Exactly. Like, what, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what you just described. No, I think the other way around. I think you captured that note so much better. But I'm so pleased to hear your example of that. And I just think it makes it so practical for people too, to go, that's how you build trust. You build trust on the daily when you're tuning in and you're connecting with yourself and making decisions based on, you know, your own inner coach, you know, the voice that has your best interests at heart. And sometimes we get caught up in going, looking from the outside and going, which way is right or wrong? Like, is doing double runs right or is it wrong? And the answer is, it's both. Like, it could be one day the right thing is one option, and on another day the same person the right thing's a completely different option. And so it's not about the choice, it's about how you make the choice. And I think that's how you build trust in yourself, which then enables you to kick it down and finish a race the way you do.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Dr. Rory, on this. Like, for people listening and that might be resonating with this, and thinking, you know, I every now and then, or like, I feel this a lot when I, you know, I go to make a decision and it's a good decision about my body, and deep down I know that, but then I start to worry that I'm taking the weak option. Like, do you think that if you're actually questioning whether you're taking the weak option, do you think that that's your answer there? The people that are actually questioning, like, whether you're doing enough all the time, that's your answer. Like, no, you're not taking the easy option. You're actually taking the smart option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back at, and you took, you know, talking about building trust, like, if you look back at the history of who you are as a person and the races that you've had and the training sessions that you've been able to do, and, like, you know, 9 times out of 10 you get it done, and you know how to dig, but then
all of a sudden you're questioning
of a sudden you're questioning, you're like, well, you know. And I kind of think, oh, if you're questioning, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way that you're taking the easy option. Do you know what I mean? Because you're questioning that in the first place.
Yeah.
I think for most, you know, most of the time that's going to be true. And, you know, my experience working with runners is 9 times out of 10, they need help holding back more so than they need help.
Mm-hmm.
Push. So more often than not, I think that will be the case. But, you know, one way you can kind of look at this is to just go, well, if it was my best friend in this situation right now, what advice would I give them? You know, and if we can treat ourselves the way we would treat a best friend, then we're going to be giving ourselves really good advice a lot more often. And it just sometimes creates that little bit of distance that is required to move beyond the kind of clouded view sometimes we have of ourselves, where we're questioning, you know, where a certain decision is coming from. So, you know, if you'd advise it to your best friend, if they were feeling what you were feeling at that time, then, you know, it's probably the right thing to do. And again, that builds trust. And there'll be plenty of opportunities where you're presented with the opposite of like, okay, it's, you know, it's time to really push on today. I'm going to build trust by following through and giving it everything I've got, you know. And it, yeah, you're building trust all the time by being intentional that way. And, you know, as I say, just being kinder to yourself and treating yourself like you would treat your best friend.
Yeah.
I want to be respectful of both of your time because I know, Jen, you're all set for an afternoon run. Just
thank you. Maybe I should be easy on myself.
I'm assuming it's just it still feels like the right thing to do today. You sound like you've got lots of energy. And...
I don't know. I'm cozied up in Eloise's little lodge.
Little lodge. So maybe just go slow on that easy run. But
yeah,
that said, I just wanted to take the chance to you know, to express how much I've enjoyed watching, you know, the last 12 months in particular from a distance, having had the chance to train with you a little bit throughout that time and seeing you line up for your first marathon, following the results of your second marathon and just seeing, you know, everything that you've been able to experience in the last little while, knowing what it took to get there. And, you know, it's, I just find the way you've gone about it so encouraging and such a great example to anyone. And so, you know, thank you for sharing those insights with us. And I've no doubt that people listening will be encouraged and, you know, hopefully even challenged a little bit to even think more and speak more kindly to themselves. So, and, you know, go about what they do with even more freedom so that they can fully experience the moments when they arise and build trust in themselves to be able to, you know, to be in the moment in the best way that it can be, whatever it is that you're doing. So I wanted to give final word to Eloise. Eloise, maybe it's time for Elsie's rap.
What do I say? What'd you say?
I always expect someone to break out into rap.
No, just thanks for, I don't know, being so inspiring and coming back. I'm so excited. I remember sitting in my lounge room watching you with the Tokyo Olympics.
Oh, gosh, that was tragic.
I know, falling my eyes out. But actually having absolutely no doubt that if it's what you wanted to do and you had the desire that you'd be back. And I'm just so glad that you are and we get to run again together and train again together and go on this journey, like, you know, same goals, both trying to make the Olympics, both trying to, you know, just get the most out of ourselves. And no, it's just been really fun.
It's actually really surreal because I've spent so many years with Eloise, with her little babies on the footpath on the side, yelling out, cheering us on, and to now almost like have history repeat itself. I've got a little baby on the path as old as Indy was once, cheering us on. And it's just, yeah, I'm so lucky to have like a role model that I not only have watched over the years, but I get to train with, I get to live with overseas and at training camps. And I'm just hoping we got a few more Olympics off our sleeve. I'm trying to encourage her to go to Brisbane 2032. I'll be 43.
Why not?
I'll be a touch older.
But yeah, we're very lucky to have each other in this sport. And that's why I think it's so important for us to keep our little army of great support in our team with other runners like Izzy and Rose Davies is up here. Yeah. And it's honestly such a good vibe. And gosh, I've missed it. I didn't think I'd get to it back to a camp, but to be here is so special. And yeah, again, grateful and will not take a single day for granted.
Yeah, but thanks, Jen. And, you know, we're definitely wishing you all the best for 2024. And, you know, obviously an Olympic year, we're beyond excited to follow your journey and just cheering you on. I'm sure everyone listening to this feels exactly the same way. So thank you for being you and going about it the way that you do.
Thanks, Corey.